Go Strategic is pleased to present the Worldview series. This lesson is entitled Presuppositional Worldview, Part 2 by Adam Peacock.
We see that worldview starts in the heart, but it doesn't stay only in the heart because it's something that's designed to help us make sense of everything in the world around us. And so while it starts in the heart, it moves to the mind. And this is the area of worldview where we often interact a lot with others. I love this phrase. It actually goes back to my dad, that the mind justifies what the heart has chosen. Often when we're getting ready to have a conversation with someone, especially if we have a different point of view of something, maybe it's a different view on how do we care for those in need, those who are unsheltered or homeless. And we're coming from different points of view around that. And everyone is arming up with their experiences and the studies they've seen and the articles they've read. But at a core level, under and beneath all of those things, there's some heart choices we've made about the nature of God, often the nature of man, right? Who are we as people? And we're going to talk and we'll be exploring those things more. And so as we get into these things, it's easy just to have an argument of ideas, but the truth is beneath all of those ideas are these presuppositions that the mind justifies what the heart has chosen. Jesus spoke this clearly and about this clearly in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Or some translations say that their actions have been birthed or have been sourced in God, in relationship to God. One of the things that I think is so interesting about these verses when we're talking about light and darkness, which can obviously speak to good and evil, it can also speak to truth and lie, is that he says they loved the darkness and they hated the light. These are heart words, not head words. These are reflections of the fact that at the source of how we live, the source of how we form our opinion about things, that it starts with our heart. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is doing kind of a shining the light on culture, shining the light on a world that needs God. And I love in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorify him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. And their foolish hearts were darkened. So we see the relationship between the heart and thinking right here. Down in verse 28, it says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they would do what ought not to be done. And so we see that as we turn our heart away from God, as we harden our heart to God, as we decide to go our own way, it's from that place that our thinking begins to get convoluted. It's from that place that we begin to build arguments against God and for whatever thing is that we're seeking or chasing. So a worldview begins at the heart level, not the head level. Presuppositions, here's some things when we're talking about presuppositions that will help us understand how they work in our lives. Okay, so I've got this big decision. Is there a God or not a God? Well, how does that play out? How does it work? The first thing is that our presuppositions help determine how information is gathered. That is, they help determine what we look for, what we pay attention to, right? So, you know, I may have a conversation with a daughter of mine who's wanting to do something, and I'm looking through the filter of, is this going to be safe or not? And she may be looking through the filter of, is this going to be fun or not, right? And so She's looking at that situation saying, I think this is going to be fun. And she's gathering all this information of why it's going to be so fun. And she begins to have a conversation with me about how fun it is. But I'm gathering information through the lens of, is it going to be safe? And we're coming from different places because my heart towards that situation is looking through the lens of not is she going to enjoy herself, but is she going to be safe in this process, right? And so our presuppositions about something, the framework of how we're feeling in a very practical way, not just ultimate issues, but often in very personal ways, determine that. So maybe we are, we get emotionally connected to a particular type of car and we want to buy that car and suddenly that's all we see on the road, right? We didn't notice them before we saw they came out and now we're seeing them everywhere we look because there's a connection there where we become more aware of it and we begin to look for those things and gather that information, that understanding, that influence. Second, presuppositions determine how information is analyzed, how we process those things. So again, looking at a conversation with me and my kids, there's been a couple times in our journey as a family where they've wanted to convince us of something. And they thought, hey, my dad likes PowerPoints. So I'm gonna create a PowerPoint to help convince him to, let's say, buy a puppy, all right? So in that process, right, they're gathering all this information. And in that place, their desire is for me to buy a puppy, but they're presenting that information in a way that's going to maybe help influence my part of that decision, right? And so they're trying to appeal to my sense of reason and wanting me to understand that they're going to take care of the puppy and all of those sorts of elements. And finally, presuppositions determine how information is presented. So almost always when we're engaging in a very serious way around these presuppositions, when a decision needs to be made, when a policy needs to be set, when a course of action is going to happen that has consequences, and we're trying to analyze the information that we've gathered and then make a decision, those in places of authority, those who these decisions are going to impact, are going to present that information in a way that aligns not just with the evidence, but with their heart choice, with this sense of agenda, with this sense of what's most important. I live in a community where there's a wonderful organization that for years has done an outreach of feeding those who, you know, don't have enough, maybe they're homeless or don't have somewhere to celebrate a meal at Thanksgiving. And over the years, I've seen that event covered in the newspaper. And it's so interesting how the reporter covering the same event, how things change so much by who's recording it. So maybe this particular reporter is going to talk about how things are so hard for the homeless. And this is an expression of the fact that more people came through this year than the year before. And so they're really doing that article through the lens of understanding how great is the need. Others, reporters have done it in this sense of, wow, our community is full of compassionate people. And so here's an expression of compassion. And so they're writing that article that way. And then sometimes we've had people who don't work for a newspaper, but actually work for, let's say, a Christian organization. They're writing a newsletter and they're talking about how the church is expressing the love of Jesus to the homeless. And so they're going to have a whole other type of presentation. It's the same event. It's three different reporters. It's three different presentations based upon really the agenda, the assumptions, the presuppositions that that person, that voice has. Let's look at worldview in this way. Worldview determines the scope of our reality. No one is neutral in the way that they interpret information in the world. We can be distant from information, but we can't be neutral to it. When we are confronted with someone talking about climate change or confronted with someone talking about the interaction between church and state, when we're confronted with economic challenges, or maybe there's been a natural disaster where we are or across the world. We're never neutral to the significant elements of life. We're never neutral to our understanding of the role of government or what we think government should be and its role that they have. I don't know that I've ever met anyone who's neutral about taxes, right? We can be maybe removed from certain issues, but we're not neutral to them. Even if we're hearing something for the first time, if we trace it back, we understand that it's going to connect to our presuppositions. Our beliefs all come back to one of three root presuppositions or axioms: the nature of God, is there a God or isn't there a God? What is God like? The nature of man, is man created in the image of God? Did God create man, woman, people, humans in a very personal way? Is there purpose and design to us? Are we made in the image of God, as the Bible says? And then is man basically good or are we incomplete? Is man fallen? What's the impact of sin in our lives? And are we prone to sin? Are we prone, as the Bible says, to continue to seek in selfish ways our own desire? And then also the nature of truth. Is truth relative or absolute? Is there such a thing as objective truth? And who's determined that? And how do we discover that? Or is truth only subjective and relative? And is there really no absolute that we can hang our hat on? These are the three main root presuppositions that most any other major issue comes back to. As I mentioned, the role of government, or how do we deal with crime in our prison system, or what does compassion look like as we're reaching out to help others? What qualifies as being artistic, and what are the lines in terms of what's good or bad in regards to what we expose people to? How we relate to a lot of issues in regards to social media and what's healthy or unhealthy? How do we steward our bodies and why does it matter? All of these things can be traced directly back to our presuppositional, our before-thinking heart decisions in regards to things like the nature of God, the nature of man, and the nature of truth. So as we move towards a close, I just want to talk about why are we going after presuppositional worldview? Why is this so important? And again, as I shared my story about going to college, for me, my heart was for God. My heart was to grow. My heart was to make good choices. My heart was to stay on a path of life. I didn't go into worldview in order to win every argument, even though I did get challenged and I did get in debates and I did get into conversations with people who had much different points of view than I did. I went into that because I wanted to choose life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, that's exactly what God says as he's talking to his people, as he's laying out for them the way that he wants them to live, as he's preparing them to go into this place of promise for them, this place that represents being restored to a covenant relationship with God and coming into a place of goodness and a place of blessing. And he says, here's the deal. I'm setting before you life and death. Choose life. This whole journey of worldview and having our presuppositions challenged and being invited to become more aware of maybe things that we've been assuming or maybe things that we felt, well, I don't really need to know about that, or I don't really need to learn how to think in that way. I want to encourage you that this journey of worldview is something that's worthwhile, not because it makes you smarter, but because it deepens your relationship with God, because it helps you understand his life and goodness in all of life, and it helps you learn how to think in such a way that as you come to these forks in the road where you're being challenged with different points of view and different evidence and different information, you can fall back into your relationship with God. You can fall back into being aware of what you believe and why you believe it, aware of what you don't believe and why you don't believe it, and you can choose life. And here's the deal, as we get better at choosing life, we grow in relationship with God. Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it in abundance. And this is God's desire, is that it's part of Jesus' expressed desire, is that we would choose life. And as we choose life and grow in relationship with God, we begin to have life. It is multiplying within us, and we are expressing it in meaningful ways. And finally, as Jesus challenged his followers, he said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to follow after me. He said, I came to give life. In fact, he said that he came to give his life, to lay it down as a ransom for many. And so we see this progression of choosing life, having life, or growing in life, and then sharing life in the way that we talk with people, the way that we interact with them, but also in the way that we love them. These are all expressions of Christian worldview. These are all expressions of the worldview that that God's given us through the Bible. These are all expressions of what it is to live as a Christian whose heart and mind and life are lined up with God's desire that we would have life. And this goes back to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we see a creation story that involves God planting this garden where he's placed us, placed humans, man and woman. And there's two trees that are spoken of. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life. On the side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we see that this was something that God said, look, I'm putting a boundary here. You have a choice, but if you choose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death, not life, is going to be the result of that. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we saw as Adam and Eve both ate from that tree, it was a choice of independence from God. And as a result, they became slaves to sin. It says, when we eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that I will experience reality independent of God. It says that I will evaluate for myself what to do with my life. It says that I will order my knowledge so as to justify my choices. God's heart for us has always been the tree of life, that we would live in a relationship with him, that we would live willing, dependent, and trusting to follow him, to be in a relationship with him, to do life with God, recognizing that his heart is for our good and for our growth, that we'll submit our lives and learning and experiences to the one who made us, that we'll trust and seek God for our destinies, and that we'll order our knowledge according to his word and apply his standards to all of our life and choices. So, in summary, presuppositional thinking is a skill. We're talking about a journey. We're talking about an ongoing process. Practically for me, as I was learning how to do this, as I described some of my early experiences in college around this, it was reading my textbooks or reading the college newspaper or interacting around issues with friends or acquaintances or classmates and beginning to ask questions, asking the before thinking questions. Well, what's the point of view about God, a belief in God or not, that's being expressed in this? Even if God may not be mentioned, or if the article or conversation is not even antagonistic to God, what is that underlying assumption about God? Or what is that underlying assumption about the nature of who we are as people? Or what is that underlying assumption about truth? It's learning how to ask these questions over and over and over, and then learning how to trace the answer and the implication of those answers. So presuppositional thinking is a skill. By asking the right questions, we can get to the heart. And that's really the design. It takes time to learn to think in this way, but practice makes permanent. I want to encourage us that our lives are meant to be lived on offense, that we can demonstrate our faith, that we can be salt and light. I went away to college wanting a good defense, wanting to be protected from getting waylaid in my faith. But as I began to be equipped with these tools, I found that I was able to engage people in really powerful ways. I was able to avoid getting caught up in, you know, the he said, she said type of arguments and ask questions that probed to the heart. I remember talking with a friend, and he was very adamant that there wasn't a God. In fact, he was very adamant that there was really no non-material reality. And so I was able to begin to ask him questions around that that got below the science and began to probe at the desires of his heart, what it meant to feel loved, what it meant to feel meaning, what it meant to feel purpose, because his worldview really didn't have an answer for any of those things. But all of those things were things that he felt in his heart. And so as we begin to develop and learn these skills, we can see that we can move from just being defended from getting off into believing or doing the wrong things to really being equipped to be someone who can share life with others, challenge others, get to the heart of the matter so that people's hearts can be made open to the message of hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I want to say again that this is a worthwhile journey. We're not trying to fill your head with a bunch of arguments. We're trying to invite you into a journey that will take you deeper into relationship with God, that will cause you to be confident that the Christian faith addresses all of life, that God cares about all of life, that God can handle the big questions, that God has faced the big issues, that he's given us in his word the tools and resources that we need, not just to know what to think about certain things, but to learn how to think about all of life so that we can choose life, so that we can have life, so that we can proclaim the life of God to this world that desperately needs him. So I hope that helps you in understanding presuppositional worldview. And I'm excited to talk more about worldview as we're going to look at another level or another lens of worldview in our next session. Thank you.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.